In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who continues to give us His Son as a gift. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the term Christmas in July, it actually comes from a French song that had to do with practicing a Christmas song in July, and it was actually originally kind of a negative thing. They said that you're rushing Christmas if you practice a Christmas song in July, and yet we just kind of ignored all of that and as a culture, and what we did instead was in 1940, we decided that we were going to entitle a movie Christmas in July, and there's this movie out there. It's a pretty funny movie. It's only a little bit over an hour, and it's this story about a young man who is kind of stuck in a wage slave sort of situation where he is a clerk at this company, and he's making just barely enough to get by himself, and he has this girlfriend that he wants to ask to marry him, but he realizes that he doesn't have the money to do that. And so what he does is he just dreams about what it would be like to have enough money to do all of the things that he wants to do. Well, and then one day he hears on the radio that there is a contest. There's a contest from Maxford House Coffee. Maxford House Coffee. And Maxford House Coffee is looking for a new slogan for their coffee. They want a slogan, and what they're doing is they're holding this contest. And this contest offers as a prize $25,000. In 1940, that's about $500,000. It really is. That's how much inflation has gone from 1940 to now. And so there's this prize of about $500,000 out there waiting for this guy. And he starts dreaming about what it would be like if he came up with this slogan. And you see him in the movie, and he's doodling on his tablet there, and he's writing 25,000, 25,000, 25,000 over and over and over again. And he's thinking about what could the slogan be. And he comes up with this slogan that is Maxford House Coffee. If you can't sleep, it's not because of the coffee, it's because of the bunk. Great slogan, right? Well, even his girlfriend doesn't really get it. And she goes, oh, yeah, that's nice, honey, because of the bunk? And he goes, yeah, it's a play on words. It's like the bunk that you sleep in or the kind of garbage that you deal with in life. Like, oh, great slogan. But he sends it in. And all of his sort of office mates have been getting tired of his dreaming ways. And they figure out that he has sent this slogan off to Maxford House Coffee. And so what they do is they put together this fake telegram from Maxford House. And they tell him, you have won the $25,000 prize for your slogan. And he goes crazy. He, all of a sudden, has the money that he thinks that he needs in order to do all of the things that he has always wanted to do. He now has the money to go out and to buy that sparkly engagement ring for his girlfriend and so that he can get married. He finally has the money that he can go to the department store and he can buy this elaborate couch for his mother that, with the press of a button, folds out into a bed. And all of these other things, he begins to live life the way that he thinks life is meant to be lived. Now that he has enough money to live life in his way. Well, I think a lot of us are probably maybe not waiting for $25,000 or even $500,000 in order for that to happen, but a lot of us might be waiting to just live life in the way that we want life to be lived. Maybe we're waiting on health. Maybe we're waiting on that special person to come into our lives. Maybe we're waiting on something completely different, but we're just waiting on something that will all of a sudden give our lives the freedom that we think our lives need in order to truly be us. And so we're waiting just like that young man in the story of Christmas in July. And we're waiting for that moment. That moment that is like our Christmas in July. And the title of the movie comes from this scene where the girlfriend and the man are driving in this car, and it's like they've just gotten everything, and she looks at him in only the way that a 1940s movie character can, looks at him, and she says, "Darling, it's just like Christmas in July." And we're just waiting for that moment where we can look at our significant other, or we can look at whoever it is in our lives and go, "Darling, it's just like Christmas in July." Because we feel that our lives are somehow empty, and that what we need is another Christmas. We need another gift, another way in which we can fill our lives up. And there's an element of truth to that. There's an element of truth that our lives have become empty in some way, shape, or form because of the sins that we have committed, the things that we have done, or the things that we have neglected to do. All of those sins that we commit, all of those things that we fail to do, they end up eating away at our lives, and they end up leaving us with a hollow core. And so we do have that desire to be filled up again, that desire to have kind of a Christmas moment in the middle of the year instead of where Christmas should be. It's like we've forgotten all of the gifting that we have received up until this point, and all of a sudden we're just left with this feeling of emptiness and loneliness and whatever else. And into that, the Apostle Paul steps into our lives, and he does this thing where he reminds us of the gift that we already have. See, when Paul starts off his message to the Ephesian peoples, he's not telling them about something new. He's just reminding them of something that has already happened for them. That he is saying, God has given to you this great gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you are now fused together. And that's a huge part of what it is to read the book of Ephesians. As you read through the book of Ephesians, you begin to see more and more that what it means to be a follower of Jesus is to be fused into His identity. And to have that gift given to you, and have that gift completely fill you up into overflowing. Because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a gift that won't only just fill us up, but we're looking eventually for a gift that will flow out of us. That is what the man in the movie, Christmas in July, wanted. He wanted a gift that wouldn't just cover him, but would cover his ability to do things that were outside of what he could do by himself. That's why he needed so much money. He needed a great gift. $25 wouldn't do it. He needed $25,000 in order to be filled up to overflowing. And that's what our annual focus this year is all about. That's what these banners are all about that have been staring at you since November. These banners that tell you to be reminded of the gift of God in your lives, that gift who is Jesus Christ, who comes to us in word and sacrament at times like this. And when you are reading your Bible, and finally being overflowing. Overflowing in terms of that gifting. To recognize that the gift of God isn't just enough to get you by. But it's actually enough to get you to overflowing. Have you ever noticed that in this worship service, you get forgiven like 5 times? At least. You hear those words of gospel and of grace given to you over and over again. Not just enough to get you by, but enough that you can take some home with you and you can give it to the person that you live with, or you can give it to the person that you work with, or you can give it to whomever, that you can overflow because God has just gifted you that greatly. And then, finally, if we recognize that God has gifted us so much that He is overflowing in us, we can then begin to receive God's gifts to us from other people with gratitude. Because I think that's another thing that we have a hard time seeing, a hard time doing, is to really celebrate the fact that God is working in other people for us. And to really thank them for the fact that God is working in them. Because that's what you get in the book of Ephesians. You have this sense in the book of Ephesians that the person who is acting in your life for your well-being is God, is Christ working through that person. And so when we see somebody do something good for us, I think it's very easy for us to just do an aside and say, thank you, Lord, for having that person do that. But how much more meaningful is it to go to that person and to say, I can see that God is working in you for me. And that is phenomenal. I am so glad that He has sent me you to work on His behalf. How would it change our entire lives to just recognize God's gifting in other people for us and to give Him thanks for that, and to give Him thanks for that by thanking the people that He's working through as well? Well, that's what we're looking forward to in the rest of this series that we're looking at. It's Regifted. We're looking to that overflowing work of Jesus Christ working in us over and over and over again as we receive God's gifts, which are located in God's people. God's people speaking God's word as Evan did today. God's people speaking words of forgiveness to us as I did at the beginning of the service, and perhaps as you will do for somebody this week. It's that amazing, mysterious unity that we see in God's gift to us. Given to us first and foremost in His Son as He died on that cross to forgive our sins and to unify us with Himself. And so as we look at one another, we don't see just the fragile human being, the empty human being that we see, but we see somebody who has been deposited into, somebody who has $25,000 or $500,000 worth and even more of Jesus Christ in them. And that just leads us all the more to give God thanks for how He works in our world and in our life. And it encourages us then to be the kind of people who don't reject His gift, but to be the kind of people that have God's gift freely flowing through us, receiving His word, receiving His sacrament, and then having that metabolize out of us into actions and good works that were prepared for us from the very beginning of creation. And so, this is the beginning of our Christmas in July. Amen. Please.